Using this large pier as a guide, walk around it. Next to it, you'll find a rope barrier, which will lead you to the pier against the west wall. Switch off now and switch on again when you're standing by the west wall. You're now in the baptistry, place number one, by the west wall. The font is in the centre on a raised platform.
Hanging on this wall is a large painting by Hans Feibusch of the Baptism of Christ, dated 1952. This painting is a tribute to George Bell, Bishop of Chichester from 1929 to 1958, who worked so hard for Anglo-German friendship. He was a supporter of the World Council of Churches in its early days and was among those who encouraged the many modern works of art in the cathedral, which make it unique in this respect. The bright colours of the paintings and tapestries contrast with the grey stone around them.
Move along the wall to the other side of the picture to find a model of the font at head height. It stands on a brass bracket.
John Skelton, the sculptor, submitted this model to the Dean and Chapter for approval. Like the font itself, it's made of Cornish polyphant stone from Bodmin Moor. This is a very hard stone, dark green in colour with brown and black flecks. The model is used to hold the Paschal candle, which is lit at Easter. Run your hands over the model and you will feel the shape of the font itself.
Turn now to the font, which is a pace behind you. It stands on a low square base with a cord around it. The font is used for baptism, the sacrament which marks entry into the Christian church. Reach forward to touch the edge of the font, which is at waist height.
Around the rim is raised lettering, which reads, One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism. From St. Paul's letters to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 5. Contrast the texture of the smooth lettering with the rough surface of the stone between. From your position, the letters, which vary from 2 to 7 inches or 5 to 35 centimetres in height, are upside down. The font was cut out of a solid block of stone and took 1,000 hours to make. The copper bowl in the centre can be affected by handling, so you're asked not to touch it. Above you is the tall Norman tower, with small round-headed windows letting in some light. You can hear how the sound rises up from the baptistry into the narrow space of the high square tower above you. Further along the west wall behind you is a low stone Norman doorway. Before you leave the baptistry, you may like to feel the rounded top of the doorway, which is a similar shape to the arches in the nave. You'll be hearing about them next. As you stand facing the font, ahead you can hear the path running down the south side of the cathedral. It leads straight down to the chapel of St. Mary Magdalene. Behind the altar is a painting of Mary Magdalene greeting the risen Lord. The path along this south aisle may be regarded, therefore, as the journey from baptism to eternal life.
You will next go forwards to the east, into the south aisle. Turn back to the wall and retrace your steps back to the first large pier. Switch off and switch on again when you're standing by this pier. From this pier, walk straight ahead down the south aisle to find the next pier. On the aisle face of this pier, you'll find a cool, smooth Purbeck marble column. Switch off and switch on again when you're by this column.
In the south aisle, you will hear the change of acoustics. This is because you've moved from the open space of the high tower into the more enclosed space of the aisle, which has a lower vaulted ceiling. To your left, you can hear the higher vaulted space of the nave. The large pier you are standing by is part of the Norman building. Columns are attached to each of its four sides. They all have a different function.
Columns such as this on the aisle side support the stone aisle vaulting. Vaulting is a rounded ceiling and was the only way a wide space could be spanned by stone.
Face the pier and move to your left. The base sticks out at angles at the corners. Find the round half column which projects from the west face of the pier.
The column you are standing by supports the round arch over your head. It's about 12 feet or 4 metres high. Feel the size of the stones and the thickness of the mortar. The walls above you rise upward in 3 stages. First, each side of the nave there are 8 arches supported by piers like the one you are standing by. Above these arches is the triforium, which is another arcade formed by a repeating pattern of round arches enclosing 2 smaller arches. Above this is the clerestory. Plain glass windows at this top level let light into the building above the aisle roofs. This form is repeated on the north and south sides of the building.
Run your hand to the left, around the irregular shape of the pier, and you'll find another column on a base at waist level, projecting into the nave. There may be chairs on the nave side.
After the fire of 1187, a stone vaulted ceiling was constructed, partly for safety reasons. To carry this extra weight, more support was required. The existing piers were faced with Caen's stone. Purbeck marble columns were attached, like this one which supports the decorative moulded stones of the arch above you. Purbeck is a type of limestone which can be polished to resemble marble. You can feel that it is both cooler and smoother than the stone behind. In the centre of the pier, on the nave side, you may like to try to reach a group of 3 slender stone columns. These support the springing or start of the nave vaulting. However, chairs may be in the way. These are 3 of the contrasting column sizes which are grouped around the central block of the pier.
Return around the pier to the south aisle and continue to walk straight down the south aisle to the east, where you'll find the nave pulpit. As you walk down the aisle, you'll be able to hear how the large piers block off the sound from the nave. You'll pass by 3 more of these piers. Then after the 4th, you'll find the steps to the pulpit on your left. There's a cold metal handrail beside them. On your right, you will pass the chapels of St. George and St. Clement, 2 of the chapels added in the 13th century. There are interesting designs on the metal screens around both these chapels. St. George's is now a memorial chapel for the Royal Sussex Regiment and commemorates members of the regiment killed in both world wars. Switch off now and switch on again when you've reached the pulpit steps. You should now be standing by the nave pulpit, made in 1966 by Geoffrey Clark and Robert Potter.
Steps lead up into the curved body of the pulpit. From here, sermons are preached when services are held in the nave. Again, unusual materials have been used. The steps are fawn-coloured reinforced concrete. You may have to go up one step to be able to follow slowly the curving shape of the pulpit. Run your hands over its surface and contrast the rougher concrete with the smoother and cooler aluminium. The pulpit is dark grey cast aluminium. The original mould was made from polystyrene, which gives it a distinctive texture. When you reach the front of the pulpit, which is flat, you'll discover several large metal crosses cast in aluminium overlaid on each other. Some surfaces have been ground smooth. Above, you may be able to reach the smooth wooden ledge. As you stand here facing the pulpit, you'll be aware of the length of the nave behind you. In front, the stone pulpitum screen almost blocks off the sound. The acoustic of the choir filters through the three openings and over the top of the screen.
Your next stop will be on the other side of the south aisle, by the entrance to the chapter house, now also used as a song school. Return around the pulpit to the steps in the south aisle. Cross over the aisle and keep to the right wall. A spiral staircase on the left, leading up into the pulpitum, projects into the aisle. Follow the wall until you reach the steps leading into the transept. Immediately to your right is a door, and to the right of this is a low stone seat. Sit down on this to listen to the next section. Switch off now, and switch on again when you're seated.